I mean, don't get me wrong. I love people. People love me. I am a people person. No, that's not true. I am a people person when I am with people. You know what? I forgot. I'm off work. Is that better? It's better for me. So, as I was saying, I am a people person when I'm around people. I love people. Some of my highest and deepest feelings come when interacting with other people, whether it be one-on-one or in a group or in a crowd, at a concert, at a football game, dancing or whatever. But I often wonder, and I think about that or how much I really enjoy the time alone. And I can remember a while ago, you know, maybe, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, how I noticed that how good it felt just to be able to think about the things that I wanted to have the space to only think about the things that I wanted to be to express feelings of joy and happiness. It got to sometimes where I started to notice that my energy and my happiness, or whatever you want to call it, my expressive energy and excitement, everybody don't want that around them. It took me a while to realize that. It took me a little bit of time to understand that everybody don't. Oh my God, y'all see my face is toe up. My face is toe up. This is hopefully from shaving. This whole area just kind of, I might need to, what's it called? Change the blades on my hair clippers. I've probably been had them for 5-6 years now. Probably need to change them anyway. But the point being, there was more than a few times where I was just really excited and happy and wanted to be loud and crazy and was around other people. And either I felt that I couldn't be that way around them, or they actually said, turn that shit down. You know, or you just be around people who just, you know, you just be around people who just ain't happy. You know, there are people who just, I mean, I don't want to get down on them or nothing, but there are people who just ain't happy. And I don't mean like they're sad and they're mopey or nothing. Their energy level, the energy levels of certain people around me at certain times didn't match mine. And I was always bugged by that, probably more so than the average regular person. So, and I was always, oh. Then I started to live alone. I've been living alone now for Jesus. I can't even imagine how long I've been living alone. 20, 30 years? I mean, there's been spurts when people stayed here. And, you know, my son stayed here and a couple people stayed here. I've been in relationships where people would come over. Oh, that's another thing. I've been in relationships. And I think I did okay in relationships. I think I do okay in relationships. And as I got older, I realized how I needed to, or I should, or I would make sure I kept the space big enough for me, even though I was in a relationship. And the person, you know, I loved them, enjoyed them, liked being around them, had a good time and everything. But there always came a time where, oh, I'm ready to go home, or I need some Jeffrey time. And I started to realize that it's like no matter how much fun I was having here or there, or with this person or that group or this or doing this, it always came a moment where I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to just go be, by myself. And when I'm walking, I don't listen to music that much. I don't listen to podcasts, ever hardly. It's just listening to my own thoughts. And we're talking, I'm walking 3 hours a day. Then I come home. I work. So I'm on the phones talking to people. And that's another thing I was thinking, that the thing about this job that I may or may not like the least is the idea that answering the phones bugs me. For some reason, answering the phones bug me. And that's probably the most strenuous part of the job, answering the phones, constant people. Because I don't want to say I'm not a people person, but caregiving or compassion or what's the word, in service. I'm not a do things for other people in service. I help people. I will help people when I can. But I'm not one just to help people just because they ask. If I'm gonna help somebody, I want to see a viable, tangible, hopefully long-lasting result, or you're just spinning your wheels, like giving the homeless people money. The only thing they're gonna do is keep asking for money tomorrow. So I never really got into that. I've never been charitable. I'm not charitable. I'm not charitable. That's another way to put it. I celebrate apathy. I celebrate the fact that I don't care about a lot of things. A lot of things that's going on politically and socially that I have a distance from. And maybe, I don't want to say protected from, because that's not the word, or I have a distance from where they may or may not affect me. I don't want to say that's other people's problems. Am I my brother's keeper? I'm just trying to give you some insight. Actually, I'm just trying to give me some insight into what I'm thinking, because I'm sitting here, TV's not on. Most of the time, either I'm watching TV, sitting in my chair and I'm watching TV and it's on. But if I'm not sitting in that chair watching TV, TV's not on. Some people, you go in the house, TV's on all the time. They just need that noise. I spend lots and lots of time just listening to the voice in my head, me talking to me about things that I want to think about. And I will talk to myself. I have no problem talking to myself. So that's why it's easy for me to get on this thing and start talking. And I have no problem with talking to myself. None. Absolutely none. I'll giggle and laugh. I'll have conversation with myself. No, I won't have a conversation, but I make like little quips because I have a conversation in my head. Why even talk? I'll act out little things. I'll play out little scenarios. I'll giggle, I'll laugh. I see people, compassionate people, caregivers, nurses, and I've said this before that I'm grateful for them. I cherish them. I respect them. I'm glad we have them, but I'm also probably glad that I'm not one of them. I can't even say that because if I was one of them, I wouldn't say that I wasn't glad. I'm glad I'm not. So I just say that to be sensational and dramatic when I say, I'm glad I'm not one of them. That's not true, because if I was one of them, I'd like it. And I think that's where it comes back to. Everything is about self. Everything is about self. If you're the kind of person who believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast, If you're the kind of person who believes, you know, helping out dogs or helping out pets or animals or, you know, rescuing people or that, or, you know, giving, that's what you want to do. That's what you're wired to do. That's yourself. So basically, even though you're doing things for other people, you're doing it for yourself because that's what you're driven to do. Even if you do something that you don't want to do, it's still what you want to do. So everything basically comes down to self. People say, no, I didn't do this for myself. Yeah, there are a few times when you do things. I do things that wasn't for myself. I guess I'm trying to explain that anything anybody ever does is for themselves. It's a decision that they made to do. Therefore, it's like they're doing it for themselves. And I guess I'm trying to draw a distinction between being selfish, appearing to be selfish, and appearing to be, you know, overflowing and giving and all that. The other thing, too, I just thought about, there are people who have no sense of self. I've met people who just have no sense of self, no idea of self. They can't even tell you what they want. Everything that they do or their reactions come as a reaction off something else. I've probably never been like that. I think my mother even said, I've always clearly known what I wanted. I think my mother said that. She said, I've always clearly known what I've wanted. And as I got older, I started to realize that human beings will let you down. And then as I got older, I realized it's not them letting you down. It's you depending on them too much. Nobody, if you don't depend on nobody, they can't let you down. And I got to the point where I realized it happened over and over and over and over. And I saw a consistency that people would not react or respond or do how I thought that they should. And I never faulted them for it. I never said, oh, they're stupid. Oh, they're dumb. Why are they doing this? Well, I might have when I was younger. Or why can't they do this? I never did it that way. I just realized, and maybe in an ego way, even at a young age, maybe I started to think I'm smarter than everybody or I do it better than everybody. And I may or may not have said that out loud. I'm pretty sure my actions demonstrated that, even in school and class. I just felt the way that I did things, which was the way that I wanted them done, was the best way to do it. And it wasn't the best way. It was just plain and simply the way that I would have done it or the way I wanted to do. That's why when people say, you know, your favorite doesn't have to be the best. A lot of times my favorite job that I ever had is not the best job I ever had. The best job I ever had is now, the one I have now. My most favorite job was when I worked at Artist Entertainment in an entertainment industry. And sometimes you have to learn to make the distinction between that. And that's when I realized that I said, you know what? I got to stop depending on people as much. I've got to stop depending on people because they won't do it. They won't do things the way I want them done. It's plain and simple. There's no right or wrong. Again, I'll say this. I don't believe in right or wrong. I don't believe right or wrong, up or down. Left or right, it's all relative. Everything is so goddamn relative that it means nothing. Everything is so relative that it only means something to you. There's nothing universal. And a lot of these politics and identity politics and stuff you see on TV try to make it seem like we all want the same thing. And we don't. We don't want the same. All these ideas of what happy is, you know, what success is. It's so goddamn subjective that only you can decide, or me or you or I, whoever, can decide for themselves what's success and what's happy. That's why one of the ideas I had about gauging happiness comes from the fact that it's not about what you have or how you have it. I kind of like to think of it as the percentage of things that you have attained that you've desired. Are you what you want to be? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. If you want to be a ditch digger and that's what you want to be and that makes you happy, you could be fully happy being that. So, or you can be the richest person in the world. You can have 1,000 cars, or you can ride a bike. You could be poor living under a bridge. But if that's what you want, that's your happy. And you can gauge people, almost compare them based on how much of the things that they desire for themselves that they have attained. That, and of course, Maslow's hierarchy as far as being food, shelter, psychological requirements and physical requirements and safety and all that. And growing up, watch TV, it's all about love and holding hands and getting married, procreating the species. Now, that's where it comes. It gets a little scientific or Darwinistic in the fact that survival of our species probably once depended on the amount of offspring we had. Now I think we got so many people, we could probably pull back on creating so many of us. I think we've overcome that hump of numbers. So how important is procreating to the human race? Is that a goal? And this leads me off to the other thing I always think about. We don't have a goal. There is no one universal goal for humanity. We cannot have a goal. Since there's nothing universal, since there's nothing we can universally agree upon, and there is nothing that's universal, there's no universal feeling, there's no universal anything as far as humans are concerned. And if there's nothing universal, that means we can't, there'll never be a universal goal, a goal of life. The goal of life and evolution, if you believe in it, is not to be human. The goal of life was not to create us. We just happened to happen. We struggled and fought and got here. And if you ask me, that is one of the accomplishments that we as human beings have maybe, it may have benefited us to kind of take that for granted. But every now and then we need to stop and realize what we evolved from and to, if you believe that. If you believe God created us and we're here, poof. How long am I going? I can't see with my 18 minutes? All right. If you believe God put us here and poof, then you go to heaven. You live on this planet to go to heaven and be with him. And you live happily forever. You know, there was a time when I would ridicule that and scorn it. And, you know, say crazy stuff, but I'm past all that now. It's another thing. That's what I was just saying earlier too, that, you know, as far as confrontation, I'm not into confrontation anymore. It's like I've won. It's like, you walk into a grown man, master's degree, whatever. I don't have a master's degree, but it's like a grown man walking into a kindergarten class. You don't feel challenged. And I'm not saying everybody around me is like a kindergarten class, but the issues, I've been over them so many times. I've went over them in my head. I know what I believe. I trust in what I believe. I know what's right or wrong, even though there is no right or wrong. And I'm happy with it, who I am, where I am, and what I am. And I'm comfortable. So what other people think and believe doesn't bother me as much as it used to. Doesn't get to me as much. Other people's opinions and quote unquote correcting them or challenging them isn't what it used to be. 10 years ago, ooh, I was good at it too. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And the whole atheist thing, the whole God thing. When I first became public with my atheism, I was like one of the first few. There's an argument that could be made that I put the first atheist video on YouTube and it started a revolution. And I was into it. I was going to like atheist marches and just joining stuff and being part of it. And then it became mainstream and I was like, okay, I'm done. I made my point. I moved on. And now, you know, religion, no big deal. And I've never, even with the religion thing, I've always liked church, Catholic church, Pentecostal church, Baptist, you know, I always liked church. The idea of the solemnness and, oh God, the Catholic church and with the pomp and pageantry and the, you know, the stoic, you know, huge cathedrals and just the way the processions and the protocol, just love that. But I didn't believe in God. But I believe in that because I believe in faith and I believe in humanity. Which leads me back to us realizing just what we went through to evolve to what we are today. What we are today and what we've created and what we have. I mean, look at what's going on. We just take it for granted. A lot of people look at it and they say, oh, poverty. Oh, all these people listen. I mean, people just talk, only can see the bad things or the negative things or the things that detract in their mind. And if you ask me, we have to have that. I don't want a life without it. I don't want a life without it. I don't believe in heaven. I don't want heaven. I'm not wired for heaven. Hell, I'm not wired for a 2-day weekend. I need a challenge. I need to function. I need to accomplish. I need to be going after something or doing something. I don't want to be rich sitting on a couch with people bringing me things to drink or, you know. I want to wake up motivated to put in effort. So when I look at life and I think about the fact that I'm sitting here now in my living room with all these electronic toys around me that other human beings created, discovered, back from the electron to the radio, to TV, to communications, to internet, to the fact I can sit in my living room and create music, in fact, art. Education, money. Money is the number one thing. Money, the fact that you can take a dollar bill anywhere around this planet and it gets the respect it does is something we did. We agreed on that. All of us humans, if you really think about it, we all said, all right, this thing right here, we're going to put a value. We're going to give a value to this piece of paper. And it's not universally held, but it's almost like it's a man-made belief or institution that gets probably more respect than probably anything else. No, other than life. I can take that back. Other than life. Yeah, life would have respect. But money, the material thing that we all agreed upon, this means something. You see a dollar laying on the ground, everybody, something in your body just jumps. You go, ooh, we agreed on that. The only thing that gives that dollar value is the fact that you know everybody else agrees that that dollar has value. And the fact that we all agree on it is something major, is a major accomplishment for humanity. I mean, that's just the way I see it. And I say all that to say, I can say life, you're going to have ups and downs in life. I don't want a perfect life. I want to see litter on the streets every now and then. I need to have something to complain about every now and then. I need to have something to irk me or push me the wrong way or to get me going. Because a lot of the things that I've really come up with that may have been deeper thought has become off of a quote unquote negative reaction that I've had off something. So a life of on the beach, fairy tale, and blissy is nothing that I look forward to. Like I was telling somebody today, I'm not looking forward to retirement. Hell, I can't handle a weekend. I can't handle 2 days off, let alone 365. And it's because it could be because that I enjoy the time I spend alone. Now that I have such powerful toys and a platform and the means to communicate to millions. Not that I can communicate to millions, not that I do communicate to millions, not that I ever will communicate to millions. But the opportunity is there. And in my mind, because I believe that I can do anything and I can accomplish anything if I put my mind to it, I believe it can be done. And when I wake up every morning believing that, I wake up every morning believing that I can have and do anything that I want. So every day is just so wide. I mean, the horizon of every day for me is just so wide and vast. I've traveled all over this planet. There's no place I don't think I can go. There's no person I don't think I can reach. There's no nothing. The only thing is going to space. That's the one. If there was anything that I need to, that I would want to try to figure out that I may or may not have to go super duper Jeffrey to accomplish, it would be going to space. That's probably the biggest thing. That's probably the biggest thing for me. You know, I want to go to Antarctica. I want to see, you know, I want to go to all the continents. I think I got two more continents to go to, Antarctica and South America. I want to see the Northern Lights. You know, there's certain things I still want to do. It's supposed to be a total eclipse coming up somewhere. I like to see that. You know, phenomena like that. I don't know. As I sit here in my apartment. Oh, I'm on the wrong thing. Look, I'm looking at this one. Y'all need to be on this one. Oh, I did all that talking and I'm on the wrong one. I'm looking at CS. It happens. Probably talk for a long time like that too. That just killed the mood. I was probably like that for 10, 15 minutes. Probably should have